Maybe put an envelope on money in a card and put this card there and to let somebody know, you know what? I saw you had a flat tire. I want to go ahead and pay for that, or at least help you with that. Here's something unexpected to show you that God loves you. Or give a gift card for babysitting, for free babysitting, and put this card with it. Or maybe attach a candy bar, or if you're like me, I like Peppers, all right? Give someone a Peppers gift card, all right? It's an amazing restaurant here in our community, and let them know that God loves them. Hey, pay for the order behind you. You're in the drive-thru. Pay for the order behind you. Leave this card in the window with the person in the window, and they'll give it to the car behind you. And hey, you know, once again, something unexpected to show you that God loves you. Bake some good Christmas goodies. Do an act of service. Leave some flowers with this card. Pay for someone's dinner in the restaurant, all right? And then tell them, hey, take this to the waitress or waiter. Take this over to them. Let them know that God loves them this Christmas. You think we could do that this Christmas? You think we can bless hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people this Christmas? I think we can. And you know, can you imagine the story? So be intentional. Be prepared. We're going to hand you these cards. They're really fit in your wallet. They're easy to fit somewhere in your purse, whatever it is that you use. And let's do this. Let's let them know that God loves them. And maybe they'll get a unique perspective about God this Christmas that they haven't had in a long time. And I want to encourage you with this. If you do this, share your story. I can't wait to hear all the stories. If you have a photo of what you did, just kind of give us a couple of sentences and then email us at office@riverchristian.church. office@riverchristian.church, and we would love to hear your stories, and that will help stimulate other stories, all right, and other people doing these incredible acts of kindness. So as we continue on, I want you to know we are in our series right now called It Is Written, and our Bible reading comes to this scripture today that kind of is a heart, I think, of who we are here at RCC, especially what we're looking to do with this right here this Christmas. Wherever I'm at, I get into the local sports. I'm a big sports guy, and I love looking at teams. And one of those, when I was in Phoenix, was Arizona State University's basketball team. And they did something that was really unique. I've never seen it before. They came up with a concept called the curtain of distraction. Have you heard about this? The curtain of distraction. Here's what happened. Every time the opposing team, the visiting team, would shoot a free throw, they would bring out this makeshift curtain, and they would open it up, and while the guy's getting ready to shoot the free throw, random things would come out of the curtain, like this right here, like an Elvis impersonator would come out of the curtain. All right? One time, like a cowboy on top of a cow, which makes perfect sense to me, he came out of a curtain. All right? Another time, a Santa came down from the chimney out of the curtain during Christmas. And then on top of that, one time, a guy with a ball and chain along with a ballerina came out of the curtain. All right? They had Michael Phelps one time come out. He had all these medals. He has rip abs, all these bulging muscles. He's in a Speedo. And I decided not to show that because I thought, you know, I'll be getting emails all week long. Was that you in the Speedo? And I'm like, I don't have time for that. And the reason I find this so interesting is because it works. 30% of people, 30% of shots would be missed when they would visit Arizona State University. But when they started the curtain of this curtain of distraction, when they started that, it jumped up to 40% of free throws were missed. Why? Because they got distracted. Because they weren't focused, right? It gets in their head. Distraction keeps us from doing what really matters, right? I would contend the struggle for most Christians is not being intentionally wicked, is that we are unintentionally wasteful. Which have wastefulness. It's not that we wake up in the morning going, you know what? I want to do evil. No. It's that we wake up and we have no idea what we're going to do. We have no idea what we're going to do at all. We drift. And when we drift and get distracted, we drift into mediocrity. And see, it really matters what we stay focused on. Really matters. It really matters what you stay focused on. Really matters. And I want to give you a question. That's a great question we ought to ask ourselves this Christmas, especially when we're trying to do amazing acts of kindness in our community. Here's the question I want you to wake up with every morning. Here it is right here. Look at the screen. What is the very best use of me? Today, God, what's the very best use of me? Say that with me on count three. One, two, three. What's the very best use of me? I think we would manage our life differently, better, if we'd ask ourselves this question more often. Because if we're not intentional with life, we allow ourselves to drift into making really big investments of our time and our energy into things that count very, very little. Now, you've heard the phrase, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You ever heard that before? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So the question is, what's the main thing? Look what Scripture says. It says in Galatians chapter 5, it says this, the only single thing that counts is faith expressing itself through what? Through love. That's the only thing that counts. Isn't that amazing? The only thing that counts, there is no better use of you than to love well. In fact, any use of you divorced from love is a waste. And you think, well, that sounds pretty extreme, Pastor. Where are you getting that from? I'm getting it from our daily Bible reading. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 in the love chapter. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only, look at this, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, man, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain what? Nothing. And here's what he's saying, nothing counts without love. He's saying that you can be very articulate, you can say some powerful things, but if it's not motivated by love, it doesn't count. You may be smart and maybe you'll have great theological knowledge, but if it's not motivated by love, counts. It doesn't count at all. Your faith may literally make immovable things move, but if it's not motivated by love, that doesn't count either. You can be known for how giving you are and how charitable you are, but if it's not motivated by love, it doesn't count. If you die for the cause of Christ and you don't love the people who are persecuting you, it doesn't count. Now, I know that sounds extreme, and surely it counts for the people that you help, but from the perspective of heaven, no credit is given. No credit is given. Here's how heaven does math. Anything minus love equals nothing. Anything you do minus love from heaven's perspective equals a big fat zero. And if you live an unloving life, you live a wasted life. That's why Paul would start the next chapter in our daily Bible reading. He said, let love, look at this, let love be your what, church? Be your highest goal. That's your highest goal, is to let love be your highest goal. Love is the best use of you. One time a lawyer comes up to Jesus and says, hey, there's lots of different things to know and lots of things to follow. So Jesus, what counts most? And Jesus, I want you to know, he doesn't say it's all the same. He doesn't say that. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what counts. Another way of putting it is L1 and L2. Carmen had you do some hand motions earlier. I'm going to have you do the same thing. All right, put your hand up. All right, let's do L1, L2. One more time. L1, L2. I can't hardly do it. All right, L1, L2. You think I'd have it down by now. L1 is love God. And L2, here it is, love people. L1, this is what counts most, more than anything else. Love God. Well, how do you show your love for God? You love people. L1, L2. That's what counts, not in principle. I'm talking about in practice. We can talk a good game, but what counts most is when love hits the streets. It's like the other day I looked at Rachel and I said, I love you. Man, I would die for you, Rachel. That's my wife's name, by the way. You're like, who's Rachel? All right, that's my wife's name, Rachel. I would die for you, Rachel. She looked at me and she said, you say that, but you don't do it. I'm like, ooh, that hurts, man, that girl. She don't mess around. She's trying to have a moment, all right? But what matters is what we do. Love that counts is a verb. And love that's easiest to see is when it's hardest to do. Love that's easiest to see is when it's hardest to do. Here's why. Because love counts most when it is most difficult. A lot of times we go, okay, that's loving. Well, let's look into it a little further. There was a pastor, he was in an airport. during Christmas, and bad weather happened. All these flights got backed up. And so they have to go back to the ticket agent. And he's going to the ticket agent. He's in line, and he's the next one in line. There's a guy at the ticket counter just reeling and yelling at the ticket agent. Just mad at her. She can't control the weather, but he's just letting her have it. He goes on and on and on. This guy's watching. This pastor's watching. And this girl stays as cool as a cucumber. I mean, she doesn't act up. She's just gracious the whole time through. And finally, he stomps off. And the pastor steps up to the ticket counter. He just says, I just got to know something. What's your secret? What's your secret? How were you able to stay so calm when that guy was yelling at you? She says, it was simple. He's like, simple? How could it be simple? She said, that man's going to New York City. While he was yelling at me, I sent his luggage to Mexico City. It looked loving, right? You see, I know if I asked, you know, how are you doing this whole love report card, man? You would give yourselves probably pretty good grades. But here's the thing. We give ourselves too much credit for a love that doesn't take too much effort. See, most love, there's an investment. There's something about you I seem desirable. There's something encouragement I get from you. Something about you fills me. And so, in other words, I love you some because I love me more. And Jesus says that kind of love doesn't count very much. Like my wife, Jesus just kind of tells it to you how it really is. Look what he says right here in Luke chapter 6. If you love only those who love you, why in the world should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. He's saying people who aren't even faithful, people who don't have the Spirit of God inside of them can love like that. But they can love the kind of love that gets them something in return. Like anyone can do that. Jesus is saying that doesn't count because that is not really loving. It's bargaining. I will love you if... I will love you if you stay pretty. I will love you if you keep weight off. I will love you if you treat me kind. I will love you if you don't hurt me. I will love you if you're successful. But Jesus says that the love that counts isn't based on return that I get for an investment. The love that counts most is not when it's if, but when it's even if. But when it's even if. Because that's the way God loves. And I just want to take a moment and ponder the enormity, the vastness of God's love. There's a pastor in Kentucky, his name is John Weiss, and he put a list of A to Z of all the people that God loves, or just a sampling of it. And so I took that list and I kind of tweaked it for us here, and I just want us to focus on a moment from A to Z, all the vastness of the people that God loves. You ready for this? Here it goes. Let's start with the letter A. A. God loves ambulance drivers, accordion players, airline pilots, artists, astronauts, acrobats, the Amish, the Anglicans, astrologers, adulterers, atheists, and addicts. B. God loves babies and Bible readers and Baptists and boy bands. He loves blondes and brunettes and old women with blue hair. And thank goodness, bald people. Can I get an amen, all right? He loves the bullied and the bully. He loves brave people, bossy people, and burned out people. C. God loves Canadians and Cambodians and Cubans and even Mark Cuban. He loves congressmen, crooks, cheaters, crystal meth junkies, and this is hard for me to say, cat lovers, all right? D. God loves dads. He loves Puff Daddy, P Daddy. God loves deadheads and deadbeats, drag racers and drag queens. He loves disc golfers and disc jockeys and Duke skeletons and Dukes of Hazzard and thank goodness Def Leppard. E. God loves Elvis impersonators and environmental activists and evolutionists and Eminem. F. God loves the faithful and the fearful. He loves people from Finland and France and thank goodness Florida and even people who think Philippines is spelled with the letter F. G, God loves good people, grateful people, generous people, greedy people. He loves glamorous and gullible people. He loves grouchy and goofy people. He loves people who collect garden gnomes. H, God loves homosexuals and people who are homophobic and all the homo sapiens who are in between. I, God loves people from India and Indiana and introverted people, intense people. He even loves IRS auditors. Jay, God loves a late night talk show host named Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel. Jay, God loves singers along with Justin Timberlake and Bieber. K, God loves Khloe, Kourtney, Kim, Kylie, and Kanye Kardashian. Little joke there. L, God loves people of Laos and people who feel lousy about themselves. He loves librarians and landscapers and lawyers and people and moms who pack lunch boxes. M, God loves ministers and missionaries, Mennonites, Methodists. He loves people who are malicious, meticulous, mischievous, and mysterious. He loves people who collect marbles and those of us who've lost our marbles. He loves Madonna and Miley Cyrus. And God loves Nick Jonas, Nick Cannon, Nick Nolte, Nicolas Cage, Nicole Kidman, Nicki Minaj. Oh, God loves opticians and orthodontists and oncologists and people who write obituaries. P, God loves preachers and pimps and prostitutes and pill poppers and pedophiles and the police who arrest them. Q, God loves the Queen of England and band members of Queen and Queen Latifah. R, God loves the people of RCC. Amen. Amen. He loves Russians, Rwandans. He loves real estate agents, the wonderful people who refill my Coke Zero and restock Bluebell. Amen. So, Bluebell. All right, S, God loves the people of South Africa. Any South Africans in here? Any South Africans in here? All right, there they are in the back. We got South Dakota, South Carolina, South Side of Chicago. He loves smokers, strippers, and serial killers. T, God loves Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Tom Brady, Tom Jones, Tommy Lee Jones. God loves telemarketers and even televangelists and our own Trevor Lawrence. U, God loves people from United Kingdom, United Emirates, and United States. He loves umpires and ushers, and our own RCC ushers. Can we get up for RCC ushers who help us every single Sunday? We love you guys. V, God loves vegetarians and vegans and people of Vietnam and Virginia. W, God loves Will Ferrell and Will Smith and Will I Am and William Shatner. God loves waitresses of Waffle House and the woman who weighs you at Weight Watchers. Yeah, even her. X, God loves x-ray technicians and people who name their son Xavier. That's as good as I could come up with for X. All right. Y, God loves you. Y-O-U. God loves tall you, short you, old you, young you, employed you, unemployed you, popular you, outcast you, sad you, confused you. God so loves you that he sent his only one and only son to die for you. And last but not least, for you Cowboy fans, God loves Zeke Elliott and those who are preparing for a zombie apocalypse. Can we give it up for all of God's love? It is vast. It's enormous. And you might not be clapping because you're thinking to yourself, some of those people would not be on my list. And we would make up our list all different, but let me tell you right now, God does not do that. God doesn't love people because of who they are. God loves people because of who he is. That's why you can count on God. Jesus says there's a love out there that counts because it doesn't go out basing its love on how people respond and give back. It's a love that reflects on who God is and how he has loved us. And that's why we don't view love as an investment. Jesus says this. He says this. Love your enemies. You're like, really? But through Jesus, you can do this. You can do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid because love is not an investment. And then your reward from heaven will be great. And you will truly then be acting as children of the Most High. Why? He is kind to those who are unthankful. He is kind to the wicked. You see, love that counts doesn't come with qualifiers. It actually is liberating because now you're free to love everybody. You know, I love having fun with people that love cats. Y'all know that. And so I want to say something kind of nice about cats. Are you ready for this? All right. We need to love as non-discriminatory as cats treat people. Now think about this for a moment, all right? Cats don't hate you because you're young or old, all right? They don't hate you because you're liberal or conservative. They don't hate you because of your ethnicity. They don't hate you because you're rich or poor. A cat just hates all people, okay? Cats just hate everybody equally. And when we start to understand what God's love looks like, we start to love like that. It's completely non-discriminatory. It's not based on who the person is. It's based on who God is. See, in our minds, we think we're doing pretty good with this whole love thing. You're like, I don't do bad to people. I don't push people down. Jesus didn't say don't do bad. He said do good. Do good to them. There's a photo right here. You're going to see a guy's image, but you don't know his face, but you know his name. His name is Dr. Henry Heimlich. He's the guy who invented the way that someone's choking, you come behind them and you press upon their abdomen and whatever's blocking the air passageways comes out. And since 1974, this technique has been accredited with saving over 100,000 lives. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. In May of 2016, Dr. Heimlich is in a senior center. And it's just before he died. And he's sitting next to someone having lunch. Her name is Patty Reese. And all of a sudden, she starts to choke. He gets up, comes behind her, puts his arms around her, and he does the technique on her, and out comes a piece of meat with a bone on it. He saved her life. It was the very first time that he used his own technique to save somebody. He had been teaching it for decades, but he never actually did it. And so we're talking about what love looks like, but Jesus says, love that counts is what you do. It's a verb. And one thing that holds us back is like, yeah, but if I do good to people who are hard to love, they're not going to appreciate it. If I do good to people that are hard to love, man, they're not going to respond, and it would not be a good use of my time or my energy or my effort, because it would be a waste. Now, think about that for just one second. Is it ever a waste to treat people like Jesus did? Is it ever a waste? Now think about Jesus, Judas who betrayed him. Was it a waste for Jesus to love Judas for 3 years? Was it a waste for Jesus to wash Judas' feet the night before he dies? Was it a poor use of Jesus? I would argue that it was not. It's never a waste to love like God loves, because you're offering that love to God. Amen. It's an act of worship. It's never a waste. And it's an evidence, though, that the Holy Spirit has control of your life, because that love is not natural. That kind of love is supernatural. That love is supernatural. And Paul talks about this when he says in Romans 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly, man, God loves us. Because he has given us, look at this, church, he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with what? With his love. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which fills our hearts with his love. And what God does, he pours in our hearts. And this love is so immense, so enormous, so generously given. It overflows and it splashes on the people around us. That's how this is supposed to work. And nothing counts more than this. A guy named Brandon Moody, his uncle was a pastor. He goes to visit him during Easter. I know it's Christmas time. Let me talk about Easter for a moment. He goes to visit him during Easter, and they have the Easter pageant that's taking place. You see all the things that led up to Jesus' crucifixion and then on to the resurrection. After the resurrection, the actor playing Jesus gives the great commission. And then he's supposed to rise up in the ceiling. And so the guys in the back start, they got him, you know, the actor playing Jesus all tied up with knots and everything in a harness. And they start pulling Jesus, and he starts ascending up, you know, the great ascension. Well, apparently they didn't have stick them on their gloves or something, because all of a sudden the ropes get loose and here comes Jesus coming back. I mean, the ascension started, here comes the second coming. All of a sudden he's coming down, and by the time they stop, they got a hold of the ropes, he's about 2 feet off the ground. And he's just hovering above the stage. And the guys playing the disciples of Jesus, they don't know what to do. The actors don't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, the guy playing Jesus, who's now hovering above the stage, just kind of ad-libs, and he says, oh, by the way, one more thing. Love one another. And then they pull him back up in the sky. R.C., listen to me. The best use of you is to do that. Love one another. But here's the problem. We nod our heads. We go, yeah, pastor, I get it. That's right. But then we drift. We get distracted. We drift into patterns that require the best of us for things that count for so little. And I think the chief reason is why we do that is because we're living on empty. I mean, God is pouring his love into you, but you have a hard time just accepting unconditional love, and so you compartmentalize his love. You dam it up, and so you have this heart that really wants to be empty. It's so, be filled, it's so empty, and so you fill it by giving yourself to something. You give yourself to someone in hopes that they'll fill the void in your heart. And here's the truth. If God's love isn't your absolute, you're going to look for a substitute. If God's love is not your absolute, you're going to look for a substitute. And we go looking for love in all the wrong places, right? As the song used to say, because we live in a world that trades for love. And it's so hard for us to grasp the one thing that counts more than any other. Here it is. You can always count on God's love. Amen, church? You can always count on God's love. We experience so much conditional love in this world, and it's just so hard for us to just to understand and count on that kind of love. You hear me preach, you go, I know God loves me, but God would love me more if I didn't have that abortion. God would love me more if my marriage was still together. God would love me more if, you know, I didn't drink so much. God would love me more if I knew the Bible more. Listen to me. You can't start doing anything that would make God love you more. You can't stop doing anything that would make God love you more. And the reason why his love never fails is that it was never based in your nature. It's always been based in his nature. And this is so important and so different than how this world operates. In the world, your love helps me feel valuable. In the world, your love helps me feel like I've got worth. But God doesn't love you because of your worth. Because God's love is not created by your worth. God's love is what creates your worth. You have worth because of God's love. Now, you might need to make some changes, but whether you do or you do not, nothing changes about the truth that counts more than any other truth. You can always count on God's love. And this is so hard because of spiritual warfare. We are battling a lie in between the ears every single day. A lie that is so deep inside of us that we don't realize how hard it is to expel. And I was reading through the Bible this year. I noticed how many times, I was dumbfounded how many times there were prayers about us getting this one thing. About us getting and grasping the love of God. Like in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, look at this. May the Lord lead your hearts into God's love. Isn't that awesome? May the Lord lead your hearts into God's love. And maybe you need that prayer. Maybe you need to start praying that over a kid or a grandchild. I'm praying that my grandson, I'm praying that my daughter will, God, you will lead their heart into your love. And it's not like God doesn't love you, but your heart has a hard time believing it, doesn't it? Your heart has a hard time believing it. So Paul prayed this again. Look at what he said. He said in Ephesians 3, and may you have the power to understand. I love that. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Will you read that with me? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Now let's say it like we really mean it. You ready? 1, 2, 3. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Can we give God the praise once again for his love over us? It's wide enough, church. It's wide enough to include everybody. It's long enough to last every single day. And it's high enough to cover over everything, and it's deep enough to be everywhere. And we will always struggle to do what counts most until we begin to count most on the love of God. It really matters. It really matters. What you think really matters. Philip Yancey is one of my favorite authors, Christian authors, and one reason I love him because he's authentic. He talks about his struggles, his disappointments with God, and how faith works in the midst of how can a good God, you know, be a good God in a world of suffering. He talks about that from a Christian perspective. He's just real, and I love it. And on the way to a conference, he gets stuck at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and he's there, and he's stuck for 5 hours. And he starts talking to a lady next to him, finds out she's going to the same conference he's going. And he figures out she's a Christian. And so he just, as a Christian leader, he just starts sharing his heart with her, his struggles with faith, and she listens. He goes on and on and on. She listens for a long time, and this wise woman asks him a question. She asks him this question. She says, Philip, do you ever just let God love you? Do you ever, Philip, just let God love you? I don't know what your name is. Maybe it's Bob or maybe it's Sarah. Do you ever, Sarah, do you ever, Jack, do you ever just let God love you? And Philip said this. He says, it brought a light in this gaping hole in my soul. All my involvement in the Christian faith, he said, I had lost the most important message of all. The story of Jesus is a story about a celebration, he says, of love. And some of you need to do the one thing that counts more than anything else. And here it is. Just let God love you. Will you just let God in this moment, right here, right now, will you not think about what's going to happen next? Just sit in the presence of God and allow him to love you. You need to do what Jesus' brother said. His name was Jude, and he wrote this in Jude verse 21. He said this, keep yourselves in God's love. If we're going to be a blessing with this, we need to be keeping ourselves this Christmas season in God's love. Will you, this Christmas, keep yourselves in God's love? He's saying it's up to you to live in the constant confidence of God's love for you. It's up to you. And it'll bring out the best in you, and you'll be able to give the best to what really counts if you do that. We need prayer because this is hard for our hearts to understand, to believe. So will you stand with me right now? And I want to encourage you while we're standing, if we can be a blessing to you in any way, our prayer team is up here, and maybe right now you're having a hard time receiving God's love. You need prayer for that. Maybe you know someone else right now in their life you want to pray for. Maybe it's a child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a best friend, a roommate. You're like, you know what? I'm praying. I need someone to pray with me right now. I had somebody tell me right before the service, they're in this room right now. They said, will you pray? We prayed right then. Let's do it right now. Let's pray together. Maybe you want to receive Christ and receive his love for the first time today, just like 29 people did last week and more are actually doing today. You want to join them? Come up here and talk to someone on the prayer team, and we'll make that happen. Let us know by going to the crosses. You guys online, hit the request prayer button, and you can leave that prayer and that need right there at the request prayer button. But right now, we need prayer for this. We need prayer to understand his love. Let me pray over you. Father God, I'm asking that the forces of darkness right now, Lord, be expelled. And that the truth that we're talking about today will permeate our hearts and fill up the holes that are inside of us. Lord, there's so many holes. There's so much void in our hearts. And Lord, we try our best to fill them with things that don't matter. And Lord, right now we're asking you to fill us so we can receive your love. We're never going to be able to love people, Father, until it's the overflow of your love inside of us. Father, we need to start believing so we can start really receiving your love. And Father, I know there's someone who hears me in this room, online. They're hearing a recording about this right now, wherever they're at. They're driving. I don't know where they're at. God, you know where they're at. They really need this. They need this. They look like they have it all together on the outside, but on the inside, they are barely keeping it together. And Lord, we're counting on a breakthrough of your love to pierce through all the lies, go right into their souls, right into their hearts. We are counting on that to happen right now through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your help to believe how good, how amazing, how vast your love really is for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. So if we can be a prayer to you, we can help you in any way. Once you make your way up here in the front, head to the cross. As you guys online know what to do, let's do it right now as we worship the true King, Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Let's give him the glory.